Breaking news today on Seculo as Kamala Harris speaks live from the White House following Biden's exit from the presidential race.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, so we got back from Milwaukee, and we're going to do a convention recap, Logan.
Yeah,
or maybe we are going to do what is the craziest 10 days in politics I can remember in my life, certainly.
I mean, I pulled my kids aside. It was like, remember all of these moments.
Yes.
Because this is wild.
I mean, literally yesterday marking the week ago, or two days ago.
A week and a day, yeah.
Yeah, a week and a day. So we're talking about 8-9 days here. President Trump is shot. Okay, then we go into the Republican convention, which is a very different convention, and I think got a lot of praise. You find out who the VP nominee is going to be, J.D. Vance. You find out, again, you kind of got to see Donald Trump talk first about what it was like to be shot, how it felt on the ground, and when he heard all those people that were worried he was dead, that led to him get up and make that fight statement to just make sure the audience knew. At that point, he was looking out, realizing, I've got to do something so these people here know. Of course, talking about the firefighter and, of course, father who was killed. And then, okay, so we finished out the convention. You got Hulk Hogan. You get Dana White. Yeah. You get Kid Rock, sometimes called Bob.
Yeah.
And
Bob Ritchie, yeah.
And then over the weekend, listen, it had been texted about a lot. But, you know, yesterday I was thinking, am I going to wake up? And then I woke up. I think I woke up.
I don't know if you woke up. Maybe it was his house late. You slept. It was in the mid-afternoon, early afternoon.
Was it mid-afternoon when it broke? I couldn't remember.
I was cleaning up a litter box disaster, and I got a text message from Will saying, it's over! It's over!
It's all just like a little bit of a blur for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I got back in Friday, and I was like, all right, give me a day. I got a day.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, you know, as you all know now, Joe Biden, our president, who is not fit to run for office or carry on in office starting in January, remains our president, but has announced via X.
Yeah, of course. I love that it
he
came
has
out
not
on
been
X.
seen.
No.
Supposedly he was very angry, Logan. He was very upset by this. I wonder if he ever had COVID or if he got sick with something else that was even worse.
Yeah.
Some reason why we're not seeing him.
Yeah.
Especially at this point. Now, he'll give some major address, I'm assuming, when he's healthy enough.
I assume healthy enough when they have a real plan.
Yeah, and a real plan, which would be, you know, he's endorsed Harris. The Clintons have endorsed Harris. Joe Manchin said he's not running. The Obamas are really the only
holdouts.
Powerhouse kind of couple politically that didn't fully endorse Harris at all, right from the top. But I do think that they could come around to that. I just think, again, there's state delegations already pointing out Harris. And so far, Logan, not a single person has announced yet that would be a serious challenge.
Yeah, and a big fundraising day for the Harris campaign, if you will.
They took it like $50 million
in 24 hours, not bad. A good kickoff for even a website that wasn't even ready. I mean, that's what you learn, is that so few people, I mean, a lot of people speculated the day before. We heard a lot of reports.
Right.
But the fact that we were told, the campaigns were not told, that no one within the no one was told within minutes of it going
live. Classic thing. They had Clyburn out on TV in the morning saying, Joe Biden is going to be the nominee.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Biden's going to be our nominee. We need to stop the circular firing squad. And then I saw Joe Clyburn last night on the evening shows and say, well, things changed and I respect Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think that's the new version of the story, is he made a selfless decision to decide not to run.
I heard he was angry.
I mean, it's 3 weeks of being bombarded. I mean, obviously a very hard decision to come to. One that clearly he had to work out some kind of deal. I kind of feel like he was too.
Except for the fact that he is the one who is responsible for it.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not responsible for it. I'm just saying I would feel that way if I was him. All of your friends have essentially turned on you, but not unjustifiably.
They haven't turned on you. They say, you know what? Protect yourself, too. Like, this is, don't keep embarrassing yourself.
Well, I think when they said, they came to him and said, there's no path to victory. So what would you rather do? Lose? We know what the mental capacity is, people, when they lose. It's not great. It's not great when you lose the incumbency. So at this point, he could step aside. Kamala Harris comes in. We'll see what happens. We'll keep going. What are your thoughts? 1-800-684-3110. Call us right now. 1-800-684-3110.
He go down as the only Democrat to beat Trump. All right, welcome back to Secular. So, Logan, I think this. Joe Biden had a horrible debate.
Yeah.
This all stems from that.
Nearly a month ago now.
And nearly a month ago, he was unable to recover. Every time he tried to do an event, it got worse. Yeah. When he was did that pre-taped interview, which was one of the last things he did before COVID with BET, and he described Lloyd Austin as he could, because he couldn't think of his name, as the Secretary of Defense, as the black man.
Yeah, it was not good.
I was like, okay.
I texted you that, then I said, this may be the end. After that, and calling Zelensky Putin.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Those were like the two things that I thought, this is, and then obviously called Kamala Harris Trump. Yeah, that was like the bad day. Vice President Trump. That was the day that was hard to recover from. Now, I still was surprised to see it. And what I was surprised to see, like you said, it came out on X. It came out in, not on letterhead, some weird signature that doesn't even look like his signature.
Yeah.
It was a very odd, the entire thing was odd. Like, you're right. We haven't heard from him yet. His brother came out and said pretty much said he's not doing well. You know, physically, I would not be at all.
His brother came back and said he's not doing well physically. He said COVID.
He said that he we can find the exact quote, but they asked him about it, and he said that he thinks his physical and his I think the sicknesses I'll find it have played into it. I truthfully believe, I'm a betting man, we have a couple weeks left of a Biden presidency.
Same here.
I think that you will have Kamala Harris as your 47th president, because he will step down before, and a lot of Republicans are calling for that. I told you I was kind of mixed on it, whether I think that's a good idea or not, because what I think you're going to have the opportunity, and look, let's not put it past Democrats to how they can handle this, is then you give Kamala Harris a few months as president to run.
To be president.
No, yeah, to be president and to maybe stabilize things. And then what happens? Because are you going to have a situation where you get on that stage and there are a lot of people that are going to vote for her? Let's not go into this blind. I think there are some people going, aha, we laugh it off. Now we're just taking, she's essentially being sacrificed. It could be that way.
Yeah.
However, there is still a lot of people that will just see. So I told you, if they ran anyone under the age of 70, there are a lot of people that will go, okay, thank God. It's just, we need someone new and fresh. I don't love that it's her, but I don't put it past them putting the right people around her to support her. So just be careful, everybody.
Yeah, no, again, we don't know how this is all going to come down. We don't know who the VP will be. We know she's raised a lot of money, and so has the Biden campaign, and that money goes right to her. So she also benefits from all of those fundraisers.
Yeah.
She was the only person who could benefit from all of those fundraisers, because if you would pick someone else, and if you were out there saying, well, why didn't they pick this Democrat or that Democrat? One, they still have a chance to put their name in the hat at the convention. Yeah. This is not her nomination yet, though. Right now,
it feels like it.
Looking pretty good for her in the month leading up to the convention, unless she has a horrendous month. But here's the problem. They have, you know, the hundreds of millions of dollars of hard dollars, that we call them, in the bank. When you do that, if you were to both leave the race, so both Biden and Harris were out, all they could do with that money of hard dollars, which are very hard to raise because those are the ones that have the limits of, like, was it $2,600, something like that, per couple? Per individual, so $5,200 per couple. That's a lot to get to $200 or $300 million.
Yeah.
And all you can do is, if you both drop out, is you have to give that money to a super PAC, which then it becomes soft dollars and, you know, the dark money stuff. You can't just give that to a different campaign unless you're Kamala Harris and already on that campaign. So she has inherited an unbelievable amount of hard dollars.
Yeah.
So now Democrat really fundraisers can say, let's double down, because we didn't want Joe Biden. A lot of his fundraising people were saying, don't ask me for money anymore. But they've got those people's money now.
They're back. And also,
you're right.
If she picks a good running mate, that could change the game also. She picks somebody.
Take on J.D. Vance. Now, she doesn't have to debate J.D. Vance.
Right.
She gets the Trump debate.
Which is a very different thing.
Very different.
Yeah. Which is almost a unwinnable on both sides. I mean, let's be honest and say that Biden had a horrendous debate, and President Trump had a fine debate. Like, it was fine. There was nothing. You don't really remember a lot of amazing moments.
I think the one part you remember that killed Biden was when he said, I have no idea what he just said, and neither does he.
Right. I'm saying, like, a zinger. It wasn't like policy.
And the media didn't even correct him. They were agreed.
Yeah. So here, I do want to state, because we do have that quote from Joe Biden's brother, Frank. He told ABC News that his brother's decision to step out of the race boils down to his overall health and vitality. And beating the genuine threat to our nation in the form of Donald Trump. So he said, again, puts it down to, he used the words health and vitality is the reasons, which is not the talking point coming from the DNC. You know, I'm trying to see what other. He also told CBS News, selfishly, I will have him back to enjoy whatever time he has left in our lives. So, I mean, that's a pretty, like, that's what I'm saying. This is not what we think it is.
You think he's got some hit some wall?
Something's wrong. Yeah, I believe so. I mean, again, it's all speculation, but that's a weird thing to say. That's not straight up. Again, I'm pretty much convinced that you will have a President Harris here.
And I think it's,
soon.
It's interesting, too, because of the Secret Service director having to testify today. This kind of knocked the President Trump stuff off the news for a couple days. It's back now.
Yeah, they changed the narrative for a few days. For sure. For yesterday.
Which is a weekend narrative, so it's not the most important.
Yeah. Well, I
think they maybe didn't want it to be. Like you said, they're not fully prepared.
No. I mean,
it's not like she came out and did an event as a candidate.
They have just slowly started to get the social media handles changed.
Really? You said she just did a White House event, but that would be normal, too, if the president
could do it. The White House event was very much, she went out and spoke to NCAA athletes, champions, made a very generic speech.
The president was hurt, sick, that's what you would do as vice president.
Yeah, and it was fine. There was nothing really good or bad in it.
Did you say there was some cackling?
There was some, you're national champions, which means you're champions of the national. You know, what's it didn't say that.
Did she really do that?
She didn't say that, but it was similar. It was kind of like that.
Do we have that, guys?
I don't know. We could probably find it. It was.
Yeah, okay, let's do it.
It was on the nose. Yeah.
I am honored to welcome all of you to the White House to celebrate the achievements of these great athletes. Every one of them is a national champion. A national champion. In America, tens of millions of people play a sport as a child, and the best of the best grow up to become national champions.
I mean, it does.
It does
kind of feel.
But who wrote that and said, you know what? Let's say the phrase, because that's
champions.
What we're known for. Yeah. Three different times when you could have said it once.
No, she said national champions or champions. Yeah, I think it was
national
at least,
champions. National champions.
Every one of them is a national champion. A national champion in America, and tens of millions of people of children grow up to become national champion.
And what sports were these? These were the non-football.
This was like a myriad of. Then six of them are Olympic athletes that were going to be going on to the Olympics. So again, I mean, it was a fine event. It was something good to have.
But she did the whole.
But she did do the
which
thing.
Which is her people.
Maybe that's what she says. Maybe that's her thing.
Her thing is
she said the thing.
The three times.
Yeah. All right, there are a lot of people calling in. Should we take some calls?
1-800-684-3112. I want you to kind of weigh in. If it is Kamala Harris, do you think that is harder for President Trump or easier, or are you just not sure yet? And I think being just not sure is okay, too. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Certainly, Kamala Harris came out big in the Biden administration, had a bad of her own coming out into the Washington scene, and so far has gotten kind of Logan moved to these smaller events.
Yeah.
Like the college champions, and not, at least visibly, not very involved with significant policy.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that she has been sort of the face of, honestly, is the abortion issue. She
has
been the person on tour talking about abortion. So with that being such a
definitely going to be that
tough issue, and look, I was just in Massachusetts. I'm seeing sort of the craziness that's going on there. It is one of the top issues, especially in these liberal states. So she will have that where others do not.
Right.
So she has been on one of the top, for a Democrat, one of the top ticket items right now. So that's pretty fascinating. I did want to take a minute and look, speaking of the life issue, it is headed towards the end of our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of July. And we need you to be a part of it. We can't do this without you. Right now, all donations made to the ACLJ are doubled. And look, we're with such craziness in the news, whether that was the Trump assassination attempt, whether that was the RNC, and now this, look, it's easy for things like the Life and Liberty Drive to kind of sneak by. And we are down. We could really use your support right now. So really, I encourage you. We only have 1 week left for this month of July. And your support is crucial for us to engage in all of our vital legal cases. We'll go through some of those a little bit later in the next segment. We can discuss all of those. Some of those are the fight for life. We are fighting the Supreme Court to defund Planned Parenthood as the, you know, what potential Harris administration will say, seeks to expand abortion rights. We filed 17 lawsuits against the administration for deep state corruption. Tomorrow we are filing an amicus brief in the appeal of President Trump's New York conviction. We filed a FOIA request to the Biden, I'm reading through them, guys, Biden-Harris Secret Service and the DHS to get answers on the security breakdown and the assassination attempt. So we are engaged in all of these issues that are happening right now, and we really could use your support. So I encourage you, go to aclj.org, become an ACLJ supporter right now. All gifts are doubled. So if you give $20, it becomes an effectively $40 and so on and so on. And so many of you become ACLJ champions. We appreciate it. But even if you're a champion, you want to up that for 1 month, go there, make a one-time donation. We really would appreciate it. No matter who you think should be the president, not the president, regardless, the ACLJ needs to be there. We need to be there and have your voice heard.
Yeah, I know that people were distracted the last week. I mean, obviously, you've got the major party conventions, Donald Trump being shot, the first time Donald Trump speaks. Now you've got Joe Biden out of the race and Kamala Harris. So focusing in now, back to kind of getting to the work that we do, I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. It's part of our Life and Liberty challenge. You go to ACLJ.org, and you will double the impact of your donation. This is a critical time to do it, folks, for the ACLJ, even in the midst of this campaign. Sometimes that's the most critical time for us when it comes to fundraising. Be right back. Welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to Harry Hutchinson because, Harry, there is this talk that by kind of subverting the normal election process, because you got Joe Biden with the delegates, and his delegates now are freed up, but in a sense, a lot of those delegations are already supporting Harris, because these are the hardcore Biden delegates. So if he says go to Harris, that's kind of like what they're doing. And we'll see that in the first round of voting in a month. We'll also see if anybody serious gets in this race. As of now, a couple of the more serious names have already endorsed. So you've had the Michigan governor, right? You had Hillary Clinton. Now, you did not have the Obamas yet. So Michelle Obama could still...
Yeah, the Obama statement was very generic. It was, well, we hope the Democratic process puts out a good candidate. It was not at all endorsing, which I found...
But I feel like in a week they could endorse.
I think so. I think they probably
Joe Biden split up his statements into two.
Yeah, they think give it a little time. Maybe you need a moment where you have Barack and Michelle on stage. True. With Kamala.
That's different than Clinton's.
I mean, that could be your official announcement kickoff sort of fundraising event. Yeah, that changes the vibe completely. And maybe you have that push, but I also don't know their relationship. I have no idea if they have a good or bad relationship with the Obamas. The Harris family, I don't know if that's even really talked about. I mean, I think...
Yeah, we usually hear about the Biden relationship not being so great, but the Harris relationship, it's not going to be as tight because they weren't running it. It was his VP for 8 years, so you weren't like around each other all the time. I want to go to Harry, though, because Harry, one thing that's interesting about this is that the Democrats have figured out how the elites in their party can still be in control of this system. And so to make sure it's not... Democrat voters really never had a say here. Joe Biden was the only nominee, and now they're not going to get Joe Biden.
I think you're precisely correct. So this move by the elites raises several questions. Number one, who has ever voted for Kamala Harris? Number two, who supported Kamala Harris in 2020? Virtually no one. So many Americans face the daunting prospect of being unburdened by the past, inclusive of the Joe Biden presidency. Joe Biden has presided over one of the most disastrous presidencies in American history. And we should note also that the ruling class elites, both in the United States and Europe, have hollowed out our institutions of liberal democratic governance. So, but at the same time, what have the elites said? What have they done? They have claimed that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. So in essence, we have these ruling class elites who have simultaneously sought to protect democracy from Donald Trump intervening in the democratic process, thus thwarting the will of democratic voters. So it is highly irregular, and it's highly unusual. And lastly, let me suggest that what we have witnessed is simply a bloodless coup by elites, and I think the American people should take notice of that.
Supposedly, Joe Biden is very upset about this.
Well, I think there is that argument to be made now, not even an argument to be made, that millions of people voted for Joe Biden.
They always push this on you, too, when you're feeling sick.
Yeah, it does.
We see that happen over and over in politics, where they go to you with a tough decision, and they know you're kind of like 50%
weak,
there.
Yeah.
And you're in a hospital, or you've got COVID, and you're having to, you know, self-contain yourself. And they're showing you a video of Donald Trump getting shot, jumping back up, and Hulk Hogan. And then, you know, what are you going to do? Shuffle out there and hopefully not just cough through your...
Some of the reports that were his top advisors, who he's had since the 80s, saying you have no path to win. So at this point, why not leave?
Because in the polls, they'll show that.
No. Saying, why not go out, you know, in a positive way, step down. If Kamala wins, you have a great situation there. If she loses, you're not the one to lose. You're able to actually kind of ride off into the sunset, and a lot of one-term presidents aren't able to do that. They can never really recover from the American people rejecting them. And we've seen that, by the way, time and time again. I've read a lot of the biographies and those about how mentally destructive it is when you had one term as the president and then get voted out.
Right.
George H.W. Bush, I think, historically known for talking about what that was and how even Bill Clinton kind of helped him through some of that because it was such a jarring moment for him. So at someone in their 80s, I think that's an interesting thing. But I think you are right, where when you start having these conversations of where elections get moved and what's fair and what's not fair, I mean, what is clearly not fair is that millions and millions of people voted for President Biden. Their voice is not heard. That we don't live in a time where you are a few months away from the election, that we can't figure out some sort of mini primary, if you will, but I know that's not how it works.
Well, you can at the convention.
At the convention, yes, but where the American people actually had a voice.
Oh, right. No, so, I don't think there's enough time to vote again in states.
No, I think there probably could be in modern times, there should be, but not on the books how the rules are set. No. The phone lines are completely jammed. Let's go ahead and take one of these calls. Let's just start from the top. Let's go to Martin, who's calling in North Carolina. Watching on YouTube. Thank you. If you're watching on YouTube, by the way, you're brand new, hit that subscribe button. Hit that thumbs up if you're always here. And throw in a comment. We'd love to hear from you. So, Martin, you're on the air.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all taking my call. I'm going to make this quick. With all the talk and everything that has gone on about, well, accept the decision of Joe, those were the same people that were telling him to step down. And now people saying he had the country in mind and the best for the country. But yet in his document or letter that he sent down when he dropped out of the race, he said, it's best for the party and then the country, which tells me they're afraid of losing their power is the party. And it was never about that. So to say that, to say this, we just need to pray for the government and we need to get out and vote.
Yeah, I think Martin's right in the fact that they will spin this as he did the selfless thing. Right. He decided, which is, you know what, come up with a narrative that works for you. Whatever, it's politics. Part of the whole thing is,
we actually hear that from him.
Come up with the story. Right. You see what we actually see. But Martin's not wrong that they are scared to lose power.
I think that is precisely correct. And if you look at the United States, there are many individuals who are part of what might be called America's military-industrial complex. They support the Green New Deal. They support government censorship. They support unlimited immigration by illegal aliens, which drives down wages, but also spurs inflation and higher housing prices, because for them, this advances their economic agenda. And you're seeing this play out similarly in Europe. You have a move to push unlimited immigration in the European community. The Europeans, they don't favor it, the citizens, but the elites who run Brussels favor it. And so I think one of the things that the American people have to face is the fact that we have this split between the people and the elites. And at the end of the day, increasingly, it looks like the elites prevail.
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna,
do you think like Harris 100% has to do a debate with Trump?
I don't know if you have to. I do think
that has to be totally worked out again.
Yeah, I think that it could happen, and it probably be, again, another must-see TV moment. So for both of them, it may be worth it. It may be needed when the first polling comes out and we see if Harris is actually in the running. If she's a few behind.
I think she will be.
I think she will be too. And if she's behind just a little, then going to the debate stage may be a smart move. Hey, we will be back with a second half hour of the broadcast. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to tell you, though, we have a one-minute break. In that one-minute break, I'm going to encourage you to make a donation to the ACLJ right now during our Life and Liberty Drive. If we lose you right now, find us live broadcasting noon Eastern, by the way, and you can work your way back. Noon Eastern, on ACLJ.org, on YouTube, on Rumble, on Facebook. We are on X. We are broadcasting live on all those platforms. You should be a part of that conversation live. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So if you're just joining us, you've probably heard this weekend, Joe Biden, this is not a joke, he is not running for president. He is not stepping down. I do believe he should be. I think here's the reason why there. If you're not capable of being president in January, how on earth are you capable of being president right now? It's a few months away. But he's saying it's more about politics, not about his capabilities. He said, you know, he still has the same cognitive ability. He's just not able to express it as well. And of course, he gets more tired now by age, but he has the same cognitive ability to run the country. His own people, this wasn't Republicans, this was Democrats saying, get out. And it was high pressure, Logan, from some of the most influential Democrats when it comes to fundraising, when it comes to politics. And though he says he felt like he was stabbed in the back, the truth is, I think it was his wife and his family that have been stabbing him in the back for the last 2 years, not telling him the truth about how he looks how bad he sounds. You could have kind of predicted this 2 years ago.
I had a conversation with somebody, and I specifically remember them talking about it, saying, oh, I think Harris will be the nominee, and I think she'll be the president and this was 2 years ago. I said, they're not going to just push this and push this. The problem is they pushed it until they couldn't push it, and now can pull a fast one on the American people. Now, there's a lot of discussion of who could be the vice presidential pick for Kamala Harris. And of course, there's always a fun bite that reeks of anti-Semitism that can come out. Obviously, if you have President Kamala Harris, you have the first Jewish first man. There's something there. But there have been picks and there have been thoughts. And Governor Shapiro is a name that keeps coming up. Not known really on the national stage very much at all. But here's what John King, this is a conversation with John King on CNN, had to say.
He's certainly under consideration. I know that from key Harris allies. He's a first-term governor. He's Jewish. There could be some risks in putting him on the ticket. But certainly some of our voters here in Pennsylvania said, hey, we like Governor Shapiro. Give him a look.
There could be a risk because he is Jewish. You know, that could be a problem here for the American people. Sad days we live in when that is the discussion point. A lot of names are being thrown out there. And I think
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, Mayor Pete, who is the transportation secretary.
I would put money right now if I was a betting man on Mayor Pete being the VP nominee.
Interesting. Governor Cooper of North Carolina, Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona, who's an astronaut, Maryland Governor Wes Moore.
Oh, Kelly be interesting.
California Governor Gavin Newsom, Illinois Governor, I think he's pretty high up there too, J.B. Pritzker. Pennsylvania Governor, as we discussed, Josh Shapiro, but he happens to be Jewish, so that might cause him a problem.
That's their line, not ours. Yeah. Just going to clarify that.
Senator Raphael Warnock of Georgia, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. So, I mean, listen, those are all names that are decently known inside their state. Some are known a little bit more nationally on both the right and the left. But, you know, usually, Logan, you don't pick a VP nominee until you're basically going into your convention. Now, does she feel more pressure, do you think, to pick a VP nominee earlier? Is that why we're talking about VP nominees so much? Because usually the VP nominee, you're going to hold that as tight as you can until the second day of your convention.
Well, you're running a full-on campaign, and now I think you do. I think Scott Kelly, I didn't even think about that one. That's a very interesting one.
Yep.
American hero, if you will. Astronaut. You know, a pretty great story. In his early 60s, so you know, someone who could actually fit that mold. I've had many of friends who have had conversations with him. Obviously, he's a Democrat, obviously very liberal, but has mass appeal. That is a very interesting one that I could see.
Yep. We'll take your calls. We come back from this break at 1-800-684-3110. Keep those calls in. Support the work of the ACLJ, Logan, with our Life and Liberty Drive. You can double the impact of your donations if you make those donations during our Life and Liberty Drive at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And Logan, this is a really critical time for the ACLJ. It's been 10 bizarre days. Yeah. Obviously, I know people's attention have been elsewhere, but we are taking this and we're going to explain it to you as far down as we can. So go to 1-800, go to ACLJ.org, Logan, and make sure people are part of our Life and Liberty Drive and double that impact.
Yeah, and yes, go to ACLJ.org, do that today. And I needed to clarify, it's Mark Kelly, you know, husband of Gabby Giffords. You know, that's what I'm messed up there. Apologies. No, I did. They're twin brothers, twin astronauts. So just to clarify that. But yeah, go to ACLJ.org, support the work. Rick Grinnell's joining us in the next segment, and then we're going to take the most important voice in the room, and that's yours, coming up in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Secular. We are going to be taking your calls, too, in the final segment of the broadcast, which is coming up. Rick Grinnell is joining us now, our Senior Advisor for National Security and Foreign Policy. And, Rick, I want to talk to you first about this, because you had a change of thinking, too, when it came to whether or not Joe Biden would be replaced because of the fundraising money, the hard dollars, and the fact that it would be Harris who would be the likely most benefit the most if he were to say, I'm not going to get in this race. And so, Rick, now as he already announced he's not getting in the race, he's also endorsed Harris, so have the Clintons, so have some other high-profile Democrats. We haven't seen the Obamas yet do it. But how likely do you think we are at this point to see Kamala Harris as the presidential candidate who takes on Donald Trump?
Well, it looks like we're moving in that direction. I mean, she, last time she ran for president, she didn't win a single state. She could literally be the Democratic nominee and never have won a single state. She's very unpopular within Democrats. I say to my Republican friends, we have to focus on her record. We know she's a DEI appointee. That's the way we do it in California. You've got the straight white male at the top, Gavin Newsom, handing out little crumbs to all these different groups. You wait your turn, and then you're supposed to clap and be thankful when he hands you an appointment. And the reality is she's completely unvetted and unqualified. She has failed so many times. You just look at her California record. She's a radical environmentalist who rejected science and says that she doesn't want to see fracking at all. Even the Obama administration came around on fracking after looking at the science. But that message needs to be shared widely in Pennsylvania. She's absolutely against fracking. We saw, as Attorney General, Kamala be very aggressive about ensuring that there was no liquid natural gas terminals built in California. She was successful there. We still don't have an LNG terminal. Her record is radical, and we haven't even begun to talk about the border failures.
No, she's come after the pro-life community in California. She was the one that wanted to make pro-life pregnancy centers have to advertise for free abortions. Remember, she said, if you want to survive, you've got to put up a sign and you've got to tell people where the closest free abortion is. This is for pro-life pregnancy centers. So she's part of that whole move to shut them down.
Yeah, I was in Massachusetts over the weekend, and there's a big push right now against pro-life pregnancy centers. We're going to talk about that coming up. It was wild to see. These are state-run campaigns that are happening. We're going to tease that out of what we can do to help with that, because you're seeing these pregnancy centers with that. But she has been the voice of that. She has been the voice of the pro-choice movement. So in some of these states, it's certainly going to be a plus.
So, Rick, I would usually say, vice presidential picks are important, but they usually don't persuade a lot of people. But there's a lot of talk already about who she might pick as her vice presidential running mate. Do you think she has to do that before the convention or leading up to it, just to try and solidify more of the Democrat base and whoever the base is that would come from that candidate as well, just so it can look like, one, this is her nomination. I've already got VPs picked out. Do you announce a whole cabinet to kind of say, look, I'm ready to go on day one?
Or at that point, are you the president already?
Holding it, Rick, like we'd usually see until the convention week?
I think she has to focus in on her vice president, and that's probably about it. But conservatives need to be completely focused on her record. They're going to get a little bump on whoever they pick as their VP candidate. The media is going to go all in and pretend like this is a perfect ticket and history is being made by having the first woman. But she's the most radical far left person who has gotten this close to the presidency. We need to be very clear eyed about how radical she is on every single issue. She's a radical for California, Jordan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rick, when you say that, I want you to make that clear to people. And just maybe run through a few examples. Why is she a radical inside California?
Well, with inside California, the entire state is controlled by Democrats. So what she's been able to do is literally take every radical lefty idea that has failed, and she's been the champion, whether it's on the environment, whether it's on shutting down all energy production, whether it's on abortion, whether it's on trying to raise the minimum wage to crazy levels that doesn't even consider businesses. She has no idea how an economy works. All she does is race to more legislation that would be more radical and more lefty, very anti-business, because all she does is come up with new ideas that really strangle small business owners. She has no idea how they make a paycheck, how they make a budget, but she doesn't care. She's got DEI programs everywhere, and she's really proud of it.
Yeah, Rick, I do you think, you know, with the VP choice she'll end up making, do you think she has time to try and recast herself to the American people? If Joe Biden were to, let's say, let her have the presidency for 6 weeks going into the election, would that give her the ability? I mean, yes, it gives her a lot of extra work.
I think it'll be longer than that. But, yeah.
But like, to give her the ability to just have that kind of sheen of the presidency and more decision-making power. Though, of course, I think a lot of people are going to point to inside the White House. We know that Rick, Biden has not been running things, and we're getting that confirmed now. But we also know Harris wasn't either. It was their council, political advisors, Rick, that were running the country and probably running a lot of the conflicts we see around the world.
Yeah, look, you look at her performance at the Munich Security Conference, which some reporters will try to say that, you know, she read a really good speech. But once again, her personal meetings were a disaster. When she's off script, it's literally pathetic. She can't put two sentences together. She doesn't understand follow-up questions. The media are going to try to repackage her with her vice president pick. But we have to stay focused on her record. She is a radical far left. And to be honest, she should be labeled far left. If the media are going to label some people far right, then it goes without saying that there's a far left. And she is 100% the example of radical far left.
Yeah, I honestly think, Logan, that this radical far left is who pushed Joe Biden out, too.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He thought he may have done his job against Trump, but that he was too likely to fail in that job against Trump this time.
Yeah, and then a moderate would not really, and you'd say moderate, Joe Biden, original moderate, I'd say before he was sort of kowtowing to Democrats.
He wasn't even kowtowing. He was just had a bunch of advisors around him saying what he was doing, Rick. I mean, let's go to that issue because our national security is at play. Can Joe Biden really come to the country when he speaks, I would guess this week, and say, Rick, on the one hand, I'm not running again, so I'm done in January. But on the other hand, I think I'm totally fine to finish out a term while there's two major wars going on in the country, in the world.
Yeah, look, what's very scary right now is with these wars, with these threats, we had a Russian ship literally off the coast of Cuba. We know that our enemies are watching this moment and are planning. And I don't have a good feeling knowing that Joe is going into the sunset and Kamala is somehow watching what's happening. I don't believe that she's got any national security experience that would give anyone a sense of calm about the crisis that is brewing around us. So, again, let's focus on her record. She was given the border. She was given a task to look at the triangle countries to figure out why immigration was coming from these countries. Why was it coming up through Mexico into the United States? She didn't do it. She was given a task and she didn't come up with the reason. Now let's just hold her to account. She completely failed.
Thank you, Rick, for joining us today. We'll
good
have your analysis.
Yeah, in Minnesota, Milwaukee.
in Milwaukee. We'll have a lot more to cover coming up with Rick, I'm sure, in the coming weeks, as it's sure to get crazier and crazier. I want to encourage you right now, before we go to the next segment, all of you are on hold right now. Bill, Diane, Don, Linda, Mary, and Gray, stay on hold. We're going to get to as many of you as we possibly can, maybe even some more. So stay on hold. But we have 1 minute before break. I want to tell you right now, our work has never been more vital. No matter who the left chooses to run for presidency, the agenda to attack the Constitution and your rights to life and liberty will not end. But we can fight back. And we can fight back with your support. We can't do it without you, and we have to do it with you. It's why we created our Life and Liberty Drive. And during the Life and Liberty Drive, every gift you give will be doubled. So please go to, right now, ACLJ.org. If you're watching online, you can scan the QR code that you see on the screen. Pull your phone up, scan it. It'll take you right to the donate page. We are involved in so many different legal cases. We're involved in the media in an aggressive way. And we can't do that. We can't have this amazing team of experts without you. We only have 1 week left in our our Life and Liberty Drive. Be a part of it right now. Your support is crucial for us to engage in these legal cases and in the media. So go to ACLJ.org right now. Encourage you one more time. Have your tax-deductible gift doubled, matched, right now. ACLJ.org. Coming back with your calls. All right, folks, welcome back. I just thank you. I want to get to your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's do it. Yep, let's start off just from the top. People have been on hold the longest. Diane in New Mexico, you've been on hold for a while. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Diane.
Let's put Diane back on hold. We'll get back to her. Diane, don't go anywhere. I feel bad for you, but I can tell you're listening on the radio. Yep. Let's go to Don, who's calling from the Czech Republic. Don, you're on the air.
Hi. First, quick correction for Rick. Kamala never even won a single delegate. Now to my point. He basically has to run. They basically have to run the battle, run the table on all the battleground states. And here's the real problem: the betting odds favored Shapiro would automatically basically lose to Michigan right off the bat because of the Dearborn voters. Mayor Pete, which you mentioned, was a disastrous Secretary of Transportation. Kamala's the disastrous borders are. We're sitting at a point where nobody helps them on that map to maybe take more than one or two of the battleground states, and they need them all. And on top of that, they're in a situation where they're probably only going to take Minnesota and Illinois and the entire center of the United States.
Well, Don, I think it's interesting because you bring up that, you know, these people have all had disastrous performances, but look how quickly they all endorsed Kamala Harris. After saying there's no way she could be it, within a few hours, it was endorsed by some of the biggest names. The Obamas really being it. Every celebrity got on board. It happened almost immediately. So to say that, yes, do I agree with you that they've had tremendously bad records? Of course. But that doesn't mean the PR spin can't be changed to look at these heroes, look at this historic ticket, as Rick said, which will be, by the way, a very convincing thing. When I told my kids, hey, when they're watching news, Kamala Harris will be potentially the presidential nominee, my daughters both said, so this could be our first female president. They were excited. Obviously, they're excited. There could be a lot of people who, yes, may be thinking like a kid would think, in the sense of this is could be a big moment for the country, not unlike an Obama presidency where people get behind it. So when you talk about her record and the fact that she's very unpopular, I think we should play this clip from Bill Maher real quick. I don't know if Bill Maher, as much as I have always enjoyed his commentary, is correct. Let's go ahead.
Harris would be the first woman president, first black woman president, and first Asian president. But I don't vote for who will be the first. I vote for who will win. And for whatever reason, Harris has never been popular. You can count the number of delegates she won in the 2020 primaries on one hand, as long as that hand has no fingers.
There are a lot of people, actually. I was trying to find Obama's commentary on Harris. 10, 12 years ago, he was actually very complimentary of her. Said that she was very smart, was someone who could be big on the party. Yeah, and was the attorney general, I believe. He said she's the best looking attorney general we've ever had. That was the first thing he said. Very interesting thing. That was from a Washington Times article from 2013. So I just pulled that up recently. Let's go ahead and take some more calls. Sure. Have we checked with Diane? She's back. All right, Diane in Mexico, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I love your show. I've watched you and listened to you for years. Anyway, I think a lot of your comments are right on the money. I think you are just really right there. I don't think that Kamala Harris is going to make it in the debate with Trump. I don't think she will. And by the way, last week, the points on the Politico or the Gallup poll, they had to have 6 to tie Trump and 7 to win. And I think they're not going to make it. That the Shapiro guy, he might be a little bit of a trouble for Trump. However, I think Trump's going to do it. I think, and I don't think that it's going to be a real bad thing. You know, I think he's just going to win. Now, that's all. If he's supposed to win, he will.
Diane, I think that you could be right in the fact that they may just say, hey, somewhat, if Kamala does poorly, we can reset in 2 years and let's continue on. Let's keep going, get some calls because we run out of time. Let's go to Linda, who's calling in Virginia. Listen on the radio. Linda, you're on the air.
Yeah, I went to X last night and I saw that Barack Obama was praising Biden, but he did not endorse Kamala. So I'm not 100%. Everybody else has. I agree with you. So I'm not totally set that Kamala's going to get it, but all of her faults being said by other people is true.
That is the one. Is the one part of the story. He did not endorse her for a reason. You know, unless they are planning some big event where he does endorse her, he left that part off intentionally. The Obamas did, because they're at least weighing the options here. Let's not be kidding. Now, do I think Michelle jumps in? I really actually don't right now. But I think there's at least that moment of going, let's not jump into this too quickly. We've got a month. So let's see how things shake out. Let's at least get through the first polls, see where we're actually at. Continuing on, Mary in Maryland, an ACLJ champion. I want to thank you. Mary, thank you so much for being an ACLJ champion, a monthly supporter. Go ahead.
Oh, I just love you guys. You are so great, but I'll get on with this. My main concern is not that if we have an honest election that Trump won't just slay everybody else, but my concern is that there is at the present time current legislation in the Senate that all they have to do is attach it to some other resolution, and if it passes, illegal aliens will be able to vote. And they'll be bringing them in by the cartload. So if that happens, we're sunk.
At the municipal level and at the state level, some states have allowed those who are not permanent citizens, whether they are legal or green cards, to actually vote in elections, not in federal elections. So as of now, that legislation has not moved forward to allow those who are not citizens of the United States to cast votes for federal officials.
Let's go ahead and continue on. Gray is calling in North Carolina, watching on Rumble. Gray, you're on the air.
Hey, Gray. Yeah, well, thank you. Actually, I originally was going to say, I can't wait for the debate. It'll be the most highly watched things on TV. But I'm from North Carolina. You mentioned Cooper. I have no idea how he got reelected. He like stuff he puts in, you know, North Carolina is mostly red. The Congress or whatever they call it is mostly red, and they override his veto.
Yep, Gray, I think that's an interesting comment about that for North Carolina, but I do think you're right on the debates. It will be another historic, I mean, we saw the record-breaking night at the RNC. I think you'll have record-breaking debates if they are to happen. We'll see. Last call of the day, Bill in Wyoming.
All right.
Bill, take us home.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I just have two quick thoughts. First one is when the announcement was made about Biden stepping down, I kept hearing the media say, well, it looks like Harris is going to be the next qualified person for candidacy, and next, if she gets elected, we're going to be seeing more of the same things that's been going on with the Biden administration.
I agree. I think she'll keep a lot of that team.
Yep.
She's not going to have time to restaff completely. I mean, she's got a few months here. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I think reasons why he's not resigning this week is because she's got to get her ducks in order to run a campaign that she hasn't been running.
Well, no matter who they're going to run, the ACLJ's got to be there to get your voice heard. And I'm going to encourage you right now, before we wrap up this show in the last minute, throw that QR code up on the screen. I'm just going to ask you right now, I don't care if you leave our broadcast right now, pull out your phone, go to that QR code, or just go to ACLJ.org and make your donation. Again, with such big news, we have been running a little behind on this Life and Liberty Drive. I'm just going to be honest with you all. Because, look, it was a tough week, whether that was from the Trump assassination attempt, then the RNC, and now President Biden. We're going to have a new president. Regardless, we're going to have a new president this year, which is, or, you know, obviously next year, but new president elected. this year. That is pretty wild. That changes the game for a lot of people, but we have to be there. We can't be there without you. So I'm going to encourage you right now, as we end this show, to think about it, pray about it, support the work of the ACLJ, support the media efforts of the ACLJ. You can do that. Support the entire team. This ACLJ is built on the backbone of small $20, $30, $40 donors. We need you right now. ACLJ.org, or scan that QR code to be a part of this movement right now. All gifts are tax deductible and all gifts are doubled through the month of July. Talk to you.